friends, and welcome to the Paula Gordon Show. I'm Paula Gordon. What makes you who you are? What determines your personality? These are questions that intrigue us all. Our guest has startling answers to these questions. He's Frank Sulloway, an historian of science and visiting scholar at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, MIT. He has stunning evidence that we learn to be who we are by competing with our siblings for parental love and attention. Professor Sulloway's explanation for human personality starts with understanding the process now associated with the name Charles Darwin.
One of the great success stories that we have is the consistent role of Darwinian theory in leading to insight after insight about human behavior. It's becoming an ever more subtle story as well, because a lot of what we can now say about human behavior is Darwinism with a completely environmental twist. It's not a story about having genes for this or that. It's a story about how, in childhood, we all do adaptive things that are in our Darwinian interests, and that's a story about learning.
Frank Sulloway set forth what he has learned in his remarkable book, Born to Rebel, Birth Order, Family Dynamics, and Creative Lives. He makes a powerful case that sibling rivalry is at the root of both human personality development and human history. Professor Sulloway spent 26 years testing his hypothesis, looking at more than 120 revolutions in science, politics, religion, and social thought. He selected 6,500 individuals to study from the 20,000 biographies he has read. Bill Russell and I were excited by the potential of such a striking change in how we think about humans. We felt compelled to learn more. So we went to Cambridge, Massachusetts, and met with Frank Sulloway in his office at MIT. Frank Sulloway, we sit in a wonderful little office in the heart of MIT in beautiful downtown Cambridge, Massachusetts. We talk on this program about the great change in which we live right in the middle. We don't know what it is, maybe, but in a time when many, many things are being questioned, when things are happening. And you come along, having gone exploring with one of the great minds of maybe the last millennium, Charles Darwin. Well, much of what we touch, somebody says, you know, there's a Darwinian effect here. I'm charmed by the fact that you both are studying Darwin and you are studying the human species with the perspective that is Darwinian. Darwin is a pretty neat guy, yeah?
Wonderful man.
And some of your interest in all of this birth order starts with Darwin, doesn't it?
Well, it concluded with Darwin, and it also started with Darwin, although it took me a long time to put the two ends together.
You didn't start with the conclusion, oh, Frank!
Well, sometimes I do, but not in this case. I had originally started out in my career as a historian of science, interested in the question of how Darwin became an evolutionist. I had retraced his voyage in South America and made a series of films about that experience. And I was very struck by the fact that, having come back from the Galapagos Islands with the famous case of evolution in action, Darwin's finches and descriptions of the different tortoises from island to island, he was profoundly affected by that. He became an evolutionist, and yet all the experts in England who he relied upon to do the taxonomic work on his Galapagos specimens remained creationists. And I thought, now this is odd. They're all looking at the same evidence, and Darwin interprets it in a radical, even heretical perspective, and the rest of them are totally unfazed by the
Nobody
data.
Was a Darwinian before Darwin?
There were other evolutionists, but no one who was privy to the very data that made him an evolutionist was fazed by that data. I thought, well, it must be more than just evidence that makes someone a radical revolutionary. And the most obvious intuition about it was that it had something to do with your personality, your ability to interpret new evidence in a very unconventional and unpopular light. So I began studying.
And it was very unconventional and unpopular 150 years ago.
Very. It was one of the most unpopular ideas in the history of science prior to Darwin's success at converting people to that viewpoint. So this was
a major revolution you're talking about.
Yes, to endorse evolution in the 1830s when Darwin converted was about as bad as believing in cold fusion and phrenology all at once.
goodness.
If you were known as
You mean I shouldn't?
If you were known as an evolutionist, you were known as a pseudoscientist. And Darwin worried very much in the years when he was working on the origin, that indeed when he published, his reputation would be totally exploded and he would be seen by his colleagues as a crank.
Crank. Okay. Well, there are still people who don't buy his act, but it's taken on quite a different proportion.
Yes. Well, he chose wisely. He put his money on 00 and he won, so to speak, on the roulette wheel of science.
So to speak. We're going to come back in just a minute with a whole world of things to explore that are very much contingent on your perspective of what Darwin saw about the way the natural order works as applied to people. And you've got some gangbuster things to tell us about. We're going to be back in just a minute. This is the Paula Gordon Show. Bill Russell is here, and we are with Frank Soloway at MIT. Stay with us.